You are listening to TKO on CFRU Radio 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and available worldwide at CFRU.ca. What is happening, everybody? What is good with y'all? It's your girl, Janan, right here on TKO. As you already know, here on TKO, all we talk about is mixed martial arts, also known as MMA and other combat sports, too. We also discuss the issues that surround the role of fighting and talk about notable fighters and athletes and how they all got started in the game and, of course, where they are now. So what is happening, y'all? I hope that everybody has been having a fantastic day and a phenomenal week so far. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Galentine's Day. Happy Palentine's Day to everybody out there. And yes, I did use all those variations because love comes in different formats. And for Valentine's Day, I strongly believe that it's not just about the non-platonic romantic love that we get to celebrate with our partners and people that we love romantically, but it's also about that unconditional love that you receive and give to your friends, your family, your colleagues, your pals, your homies, your bros, your sisters, you know what I mean? So I really hope that everybody is able to take some time today to celebrate this day one way or another, either with a romantic partner or with your bestie or with your mom or dad or your siblings or somebody that you really, really appreciate in life. And you just want to show them gratitude and that you appreciate their love and affection and their presence in your life. So I really hope that everybody's been able to do that today to some degree. Also, this is just my personal take on things, but in my opinion, when it comes to Valentine's Day, it's all about that quality time. Like, I feel like a lot of people spend so much time and money on, oh, I want to do this fancy thing, or, you know, I want to spend, the more money I spend, the better it is kind of thing, which is something that I've been hearing a lot of people say and do for Valentine's Day. And maybe it actually applies to pretty much all other holidays. I feel like people think the more money they spend on things, the more quality they're going to get at the end, like the higher quality they're going to get at the end in terms of their experience with things. But in all honesty, at least when we're talking about love and affection and Valentine's Day, I mean, yeah, like if really depends on the person's love language, of course. But you just want to make sure that you show them that you love them and you care about them and you will always be there for them. So however you want to show that again. Just wanted to say that to emphasize that it shouldn't always come in the form of, I'm going to do this fancy thing, I'm going to spend this much money on this thing to like prove something, right? Like, I don't think it's all about that. In fact, in my humble opinion anyways, I think it's mostly about quality time. And, you know, sometimes the little things can show so much more than those big, fancy, lavish things that we tend to do. And you'd be surprised. I'm just saying this because I love to celebrate Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, Valentine's Day. But you know, you gotta make it deep, you gotta make it philosophical sometimes, you know what I mean? Because that's what it's all about. And also, I'm a grad student, so obviously I cannot be as lavish on Valentine's Day as a billionaire is, but there's still ways that I choose to show my love and affection to people that I care about a lot. And yeah, no, like, it doesn't always have to come in the form of, ooh, let me like splurge on you or something, you know? So just want to put this out there for whoever needs to hear it. Yeah, just my take on it. But I really hope that everybody's been enjoying the day, spreading love, receiving love. You know, no negativity, all positive vibes out there. I really hope that everybody's been swimming around and all the positivity and good energy today. And oh, okay, so this is the most important part of Valentine's Day, in my opinion. Self-love. I talked a lot about showing love and affection to people that you care about in your life, but should I say the most important person that you have to show love to is yourself. Yes, you heard it right. And, you know, I am a huge believer that doesn't matter which stage of life you actually come to this realization to, but as long as you do, boom, take that for what it is. It's never too late. Start giving yourself some love. Like, in a very aware mode, give yourself love. Like, it doesn't have to come in passive forms like, oh, today I'm going to go get a massage or, you know, do a face mask or something. Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about consistent effort to show yourself that you love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, how the hell you're gonna love somebody else? Shout out to RuPaul. That's a RuPaul quote. You already know. But it's true. If you really don't give yourself love, how do you expect to be fully happy in your life and be fully content in your own life? You're the subject of your own life. And, you know, it's so evidence that you should be giving yourself love, but unfortunately, as we all know, because we're all human, we're all adult humans, sometimes it's hard to give yourself some love, and sometimes we forget to give ourselves love, right? But let this message serve as a reminder that you need to give yourself that love first and foremost. Take care of yourself, give yourself compassion, because you're gonna have yourself until your very last breath, and you will be with yourself always. You know, people come and go, no matter how much we love them. I mean, it's just rules of life, right? And I know it's hard and painful sometimes, but at the end of the day, we have to love ourselves so much that, you know, we can overcome all of those things. And, you know, when you love yourself, another thing is that reservoir of love kind of overflows, so you can even try to give more to those people that you care about so much. And it's not coming from, you know, when you give them love, it's not coming from a place of pain and like, I have to give love because, you know, sacrifice, whatever. But it's actually, in the other case, it's going to come from a big, rich reservoir of love. You have so much love to spare. You've already given it. You've literally showered yourself in your own love. And then now you're giving it to other people that you care about. And, you know, it's just better for you and other people that way. But yeah, self-love is so important. So please today, if you actually, not that if you have time, I'm sure everybody can find like at least 5 minutes for themselves today. Please do, if you haven't already, and do something just for yourself, something that makes you the happiest, something that makes you feel like you and makes you feel like you're truly authentically expressing yourself. Yes, give yourself some love because you deserve it, my friend. Yes! Okay, I'm so happy. I feel so like warm and fuzzy inside just with that whole spiel. And, you know, speaking of love and Valentine's, I love you guys so much out there, TKO Nation. You know, since we're giving gratitude and acknowledging affection and love for each other, I just want to really give you all a big, big shout out and just say how grateful I am for everybody's support. And, you know, this whole show, like, yeah, we do get constructive criticism, but it all comes from a place of love. And literally every single support that we get with like positive comments and just the audience giving us so much feedback, we receive it with so much love, and you guys give it to us with so much love, and it's honestly beautiful. And I really just wanted to use this moment to acknowledge it and to thank you all for that. Love you guys, TKO Nation, and Cheers to many more Valentine's days to come. All right, y'all. So started the show on a very wholesome note. Now, we are actually in for a treat. Let's call it never mind. You know what? I was gonna make a pun, but my brain just glitched in the meantime. So sorry. I'll keep that pun for another time. But like I was saying, we are in for a treat, and we are going to be witnessing the second pay-per-view card of the year by the UFC this weekend. Of course, I'm talking about UFC 298. Headlined by an amazing featherweight championship bout between Alexander Volkanovski and Ilya Topuria. This is going to be one heck of a fight, y'all, and I'm really excited to be talking about it today. But not only that, we are going to be having the former middleweight champion at the UFC, Robert Whittaker, face off against Paulo Costa. In a middleweight champ, not a championship belt bout, but in a regular middleweight bout. This fight, man, I have so much to say about this fight, and I didn't honestly realize that this fight was happening so fast. I knew that it was gonna happen, but I didn't know it was happening this weekend. Nonetheless, so excited to be talking about it all. So these fights are happening in Anaheim, California. And I feel like the UFC, I can't remember honestly the last time that they had a pay-per-view card in Anaheim. Anaheim's pretty dope. It's a little bit farther away from LA, but I haven't really seen them have a lot of like sports events, but that's okay because now they're going to be the host of UFC 298 on Saturday, February 17th. So we cannot wait. All right. So first things first, we're talking about Volkanovski versus Topuria. So let's talk about Alexander Volkanovski. We're talking about creme de la creme of all athletes. And why do I say that? This is because Alexander Volkanovski hasn't just been a MMA fighter. Before he was in MMA, he was actually a professional rugby player in Australia. And so I've said this story kind of like a lot on the show every time I talk about Alexander Volkanovski, but it's just like it amazes me so much that every single time that I say it, I gain even more respect for Alexander Volkanovski. So Volkanovski initially started his professional athletic career in rugby, and when he was playing rugby, he weighed around 200 and so pounds, which if you know Volkanovski, like he's a pretty like he's 5'6", okay? But and by the way, I just said that like as a fact, like no pun intended, nothing, okay? But what I was trying to get at is, you know, for a guy at his stature weighing 200 or so pounds, that's pretty bulky. And you know, if you've seen rugby players, it's all muscle mass, man, and it's just a lot. It's a lot of muscle, a lot of power. So when he moved to the UFC, he actually cut his weight down by so much. He started fighting at 145 pounds, which is a lot of pounds less than what he used to just walk around at when he was playing rugby. But here he is. He is trying to fight in the middle, in the featherweight division, which is 145 pounds. Lo and behold, he becomes so good. His work, his craft is so pristine that he becomes the featherweight champion. He fought against, I believe it was Max Holloway, that he won the championship belt for himself. And he was the featherweight champion. And he still is the featherweight champion. I want to clarify one thing, and that is that if you look at Volkanovski's list of past fights for his record, you will see that two of his most recent losses have been to Islam Makhachev, one on February 11th, 2023, another one this past October, October 21st. And so the plot twist is that these fights never happen at featherweight. So Volkanovski was just fighting for the lightweight championship belt, which Islam was already kind of the champion for. And he just wanted to challenge Islam. So what happened was that initially when the fight that they had in February, this was for when the belt was vacant, I believe. And Volkanovski stepped up a weight division by 10 pounds and fought at 155 against Islam. Islam was a natural lightweight, so this was no foreign territory to him, but it was kind of to Volkanovski. Anyways, Volkanovski lost through unanimous decision. We didn't really give him a lot of grief. Later, he fought against Yair Rodriguez, and this was a featherweight fight. Yes, this was a featherweight fight, and he won against Yair. And fast forward to October, he fought again against Islam because he wasn't supposed to fight against Islam. Islam was supposed to fight off against Charles Oliveira, but Charles Oliveira got medically exempt from this fight. So Volkanovski had to step in probably 2 weeks short notice. On 2 weeks short notice and fight against Islam again in probably like nine or so months, maybe less than when he first fought against him. So that takes a lot of courage to do, first of all, but he did it, right? But unfortunately, the two times that he has fought against Islam Makhachev, he's lost. But you know what? Does it really even matter in this case? No, because, two variables. One, Islam is amazing. He's actually one of my all-time favorite MMA fighters, period. But we're not talking about that. To talk about Islam Makhachev in this case is irrelevant because the losses that Alexander Volkanovski had against him, that were at this higher weight division, and Islam is just like in his own league. Like, I wouldn't even compare him to anybody else but to himself. So I'm not going to give anybody grief for having lost against Islam Makhachev, because Islam Makhachev is undefeated right now. I think, to my knowledge, I might be wrong, but let me just double check. But he's had one loss like many years ago, but for the time that he has been in the UFC since like 2016, he's won all of his fights. So, you know, and like the more that he fought in the recent years, his opponents were more top tier and he's won against all of them. So goes to show that, yes, Islam, in my opinion, anyways, he's in a whole different league of his own, and we shouldn't really compare anybody to Islam. So for that reason, you know, I do want to say we shouldn't really give Volkanovski a lot of grief for the fact that he did lose two times recently. Like, over the past five fights that he's had, he's lost two of them, two against the same person, being Islam. And I wouldn't give him grief because they were at a higher weight division and he was fighting off against Islam. It's like saying, why did Canelo lose against Floyd Mayweather? Well, it's freaking Mayweather. Like, he's still undefeated. And if anybody won against him, that would be the one of the wonders of the world. You know what I mean? So yeah, I wouldn't give anybody any grief for losing against somebody who's so top tier, because you know, those people are just in their own separate league. And anyways, that's that. So Volkanovski will be fighting in featherweight division this time around when he's fighting against Topuria. And so that's a variable that's going to be different from those Islam fights. This is his natural weight division. 145 pounds is Volkanovski's natural weight division. So, you know, he, after all, he is still the reigning king of this weight division. So I would not be surprised if he handles things with like so smoothly, with so much finesse, you know what I mean? Because that he has done that, like in the featherweight division, things are just so seamless for him, so effortless to do, and that's why he deserves to be the champion, Volkanovski. And you know, like I was saying, like his stature, like he's 5'6", and the more you move on in weight divisions, the heavier the guys get. I mean, not to say that this is like a hard rule, because humans are diverse and that's great, you know, but at the same time, like, for example, if you look at heavyweights, like they're big, big guys, but lighter guys, the lighter weight divisions, they're mostly shorter. And that's just like natural, I think. So for Volkanovski, he's naturally a smaller guy, and for him to be fighting off against bigger guys, for example, in the lightweight division, yeah, like things do not work out in his advantage. But in this case, he's fighting at featherweight. For featherweight, he's pretty good. He only has a 2-inch height difference with his opponent Ilya Topuria here, which is pretty okay. But before, it was a lot. So that could have been another reason as to why he was not successful. He did not have successful performances in lightweight against Islam Makhachev. But anyways, just putting it out there. But yeah, so I feel like a lot of things are actually in favor of Alexander Volkanovski in this case. But one thing that is not in favor of him, you know what that is? Or who that is, should I say? Ilya Topuria, man. Okay, I did not know this, and I don't know how I didn't know this. Also, he's only a year older than me. Wow. Wow, wow. Okay, it's so impressive. He also is so random. I'm sorry. why is this guy scary? Seriously, why is this guy scary? Because he's gotten to this level. He's going to be facing off against Volkanovski. And he is currently undefeated in his professional MMA record. How crazy is that? He's had 14 wins and no losses. Whew. Guys like this guy, man, we should be watching out for them. He is arguably up there. I mean, we shall see how he does in this fight against Volk, but if he wins this fight, he's going to go up there against names like Khabib Nurmagomedov, Islam Makhachev, John Jones, just like BJ Penn, you know, those naturally gifted athletes who are just like, they were meant to be here. They were born to be on this stage. And honestly, it just seems like Topuria is definitely one of those guys. He's really good at his craft, and seems like he's a very well-rounded mixed martial artist. He likes to mix things up. Yeah, mostly he likes to submit guys, but he's also had KOs, TKOs. 2 times he's gone to decision and he's won. I don't know if this fight will necessarily go to decision, but my prediction is that yeah, obviously there's going to be some wrestling involved, and I feel like Volkanovski, if he can maintain proper range with his opponents, he does have a really good chance of finishing his opponents through strikes. However, like I was saying, Ilya Topuria, like his record just kind of speaks for itself. The majority of his wins have been through submissions. So when you close the distance, yeah, Volkanovski can throw more shots, more powerful shots, more accurate shots perhaps. But at the same time, this allows Topuria to be able to get close to Volkanovski, attempt takedowns, and just do his thing from there. So the range, closing the range actually works in advantage of both of these guys in this case. And yeah, I'm just so excited for this fight. Y'all have no idea how excited I am for this fight. Because yeah, I feel like it's gonna be kind of like a classic thing of striking versus grappling, and yeah, but I feel like it's different because these guys, they're just so top level. They're the best that you can find in the featherweight division, at this weight division, in the entirety of MMA perhaps. And they're going to be facing off against one another. So that's pretty exciting, right? Really cannot wait to see that fight. But yeah, that's our main event for UFC 298. I will try to really quickly go through the co-main event, which is Robert Whittaker versus Paulo Costa. So Robert Whittaker was the middleweight champion in the UFC, and then he suffered a lot of different injuries, unfortunately, while he was a champion. Like, there were times that he was fighting and like his knee ligament was already torn, and just some painful stuff, okay? But man's really powered through, and he finished the fights. He never gave up, and that's what I absolutely love about Robert Whittaker. However, yeah, he's no longer the champion. He lost against Israel Adesanya. And he's, you know, I feel like he's been doing okay for a guy at this level, considering his injuries. I mean, unfortunately, I feel like his injuries started to take a toll on him. But not to say that he's been doing bad, not at all. His most recent losses have only been against Israel Adesanya and Dricus du Plessis, who happens to be the current champion in the middleweight division. So again, let's not give him any grief for that. And yeah, so, you know, it's just like sometimes competition is so high level and there's so many competitive people around, and so even if you're considered the best, you have to constantly be in fight with others to prove to everybody else that you are indeed the best. It's like you know, it's almost like a scientific theory that what's it called? Oh my God. Not me trying to make a scientific example as a scientist on this show and me literally forgetting what I was going to say. But like the theory that everything is always dynamic and in movement, nothing stays there forever. So that's how I feel like things are going in the middleweight division. There's just so much talent, but guys keep, you know, stepping over each other because one time one guy is good, another time the other guy takes the belt away from him, and so on and so forth, and is always in rotation, the belt, which is not a bad thing. I think it's good that they're kind of, you know, fighting over it, at least. Like, there's healthy competition and things are looking good in the middleweight division. But anyways, so Robert Whittaker, you know, he's really, really good despite his losses, his recent losses. But his opponent, Paulo Costa, is also really good. All of these guys, man, like in the middleweight division, we're so grateful to have them as MMA fans because they're really spicing things up. And Paulo Costa, we already know, he said that he was on that quote unquote secret juice. You already know, man. So we'll see if the secret juice has done his thing when he fights against Rob Whittaker on Saturday. But other than that, y'all, make sure you catch up with UFC 298, February 17th, main card starting at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And yeah, we'll talk about it more next time. But unfortunately, I'm just looking at the clock right now. That is all the time we're going to be having for this week, y'all. Make sure you go to cfru.ca to catch up with previous episodes. You can also go to Spotify and Apple Podcasts to download our episodes. And until next time, it's your girl Janon right here. And this is TKO. Peace out.